Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to all of you on the blog line. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We praise God for you. I was just telling them a story about what happened last night. And God gave me permission to tell you. Just thinking lighthearted. But I went to the first fruits. I'm sorry, not first fruits. I went to the workers' meeting last night. And I won't tell exactly what I was saying to anybody. But the preacher propaganda last night, and he was very, very jealous. I caught both of them. And he said the words, "I want everybody to stop it when we're walking out. Stop it," he said. "The very next person, if anybody leaves between now and the benediction," he said, "you're going to die. You're going to die." Oh, and that was a little overzealous. "You're going to die." And I didn't believe it. I did not believe it. But I want y'all to know that I was getting ready to leave. But I stayed until they said amen. Amen last night. But I stayed. And I want you to know that I'm here this morning. Amen. And thank God for the preacher prophet. I didn't want to test him. Amen. I wanted to hear the Lord. Amen. And hear exactly what he said. God bless you. It's a good day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you say, we praise you and thank you for everything. You've been so good, so kind.
Thank you, God. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Lord.
You're so awesome. Give you glory. Praise you. Every person.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for every day. Every situation.
We love you. We praise you. I want to thank you that you just said, ask you and
be given. You didn't say that I had to holler at you. Some do. That's all right, too. But one, I'm just doing like your woman said, asking you. And thank you for hearing my request. I do have the testimony that everything I ask you, you hear, and you do answer my prayer. Thank you for it. Love you. Thank God. Amen and amen and amen. God bless all of you everywhere. And good morning to y'all. If you're awake, amen. I'm going to speak to you. Amen. Good morning to you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. Thank God bless you. Amen. And let's speak to the Lord. Would you please help me speak to him? Lord, good morning to you.
Good morning, Lord.
Yeah, yeah. I recognize that voice and say, good morning, Lord. That's the first one on the prayer line. Amen. That's the very first one on there this morning. Sister Linda Horsham. God bless you. And let me see who's the first one to give him praise. I talked to y'all and quit crawling, and you have. I want to commend you. Y'all have stopped crawling, and you're giving God praise, and you're not crawling, you're getting in there and thanking him and praising him and giving him the glory. Yeah, that's a good report. Thank God for you. All right, when I say praise check, come on in. Don't hesitate. And let me see what level your praise is on. What level is it on? Praise check right now. Glory, hallelujah.
Thank you,
and bless your holy name. And we thank you and give you glory. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for making a way. Thank you for bringing me back. Thank you for your love, for your joy, for your hope, for your peace, for your long suffering. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. We bring you praise. And we bring you out. And we bring you glory. And we say, thank you, Lord. Come on, saints. 313. Come on.
8-7-0.
Come on. 8-7-0. Come on. 913. Don't even do this. Come on, y'all. All right, here it is in 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter. Yeah, starting around the 4th verse. Let me read it to you. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Let me read it to you. It says here in 1 Samuel 3 and 4, then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel! And Samuel answered, here I am. Then it says this, and he ran to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. But Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. So now Eli, the Lord called Eli, and Eli went to Samuel and said, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel answered, here I am, and ran to Eli. Oh, I got it now. All right. He ran to Eli. All right. Then Samuel said to Eli, here I am. And Eli said, I didn't call you. Go lay down again. Now, again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli. And this is the second time. He went to Eli again. This Samuel is noted as the great prophet of the early church. He went to Eli again and said, Eli, here I am. You called me. And Eli said, my son, I did not call you. Go back and lie down again. Now it says in verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. See, that's why I tell you, you got to learn the Lord. You get saved and you think you know something, you don't know nothing. You got to learn how to live a saved life, and you got to learn how to know the Lord. Now Samuel did not know the Lord yet. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And in God's word, God has revealed himself to you. He has revealed himself to you. Now, this is the second time. The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me? Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. Who realized it? Eli did. Eli was more mature in the Lord, realized this is the voice of the Lord calling this boy, Samuel's boy. And he didn't know that God was calling him. He had not yet learned to recognize the real voice of God. Verse 9, this is 1 Samuel 3 and verse 9. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. He went back to the same spot, laid down again. And this is after the third time that he missed it. The third time he missed it. All right. Then it says, the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, and he told Samuel instructions that he should do and what he was going to do to Eli for not chastening his sons. All right. But my point here is that Samuel, who was the prophet of God, got it on the fourth time. Because he had not really spent any time with God. He didn't know his voice. And he missed it three times, got it on the fourth time. And I want to tell you, it's so very, very, very important to learn how to recognize the real voice of God. Some of y'all are supposed to be mirrors, but if you don't recognize his real voice and learn to follow him, do you think you're going to be one? Because his voice will take you to that. to that. The enemy doesn't want you to have the blessings of the Lord to make it rich. No, he doesn't want you to have that. He doesn't want you to have the wealth that is supposed to come to you. He doesn't want you to have it. He wants you to be poor, always be in lack. Hope you can hear me. Always be in lack. And the reason is because I told you his kingdom, the foundation of the devil's kingdom, is built on the love of money. It's built on the love of money. It's built on money, actually. That's his kingdom. The foundation is money. Prove it to you, because that's why in Matthew, when Satan, when Jesus had been in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights fasting and praying, and he came out, one of the things the devil did is try to take him to the high place, high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. All the kingdoms of the world. And then he said, I'll give you all of this. In other words, this is all the money, the wealth of the world. I'll give you all this. You can have it if you bow down and worship me. I think in the Greek it means here that if you bow down and kiss me, kiss my feet. He was saying to Jesus, you can have all this. So the enemy, the wealth of the wicked, is laid up for the just. But that tells you right there, his kingdom is built on the love of money. That's why he blesses people who love his money. Yeah. But Jesus had a word for them. Get behind me, Satan. Mm-hmm. Here in the 1 Samuel 3 and 16, Eli is the man of God here also. But Samuel the prophet missed the voice three times and got it on the fourth. I want to talk about real quick how to recognize his real voice. Get this. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord will have you to have this. Amen. But even with this, you stand to recognize his voice much better than you would without it. Here, the Lord gave this to me in the very beginning, and I may have to have them mute some lines this morning because we're getting a lot of feedback here. But the Lord gave me in the very beginning of the book that he wrote, that is Genesis. You'll find in Genesis, I believe it's 2 and 9. It tells us in Genesis 2 and 9, oh my God, that out of the ground.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Thank you. It tells us here that in Genesis 2 and 9, as God uses symbolism here in 2 and 9, that he's using trees to describe what he is establishing. This is a book of establishment where he establishes many things in the world and lets us know what controls this and what controls that. In Genesis, the book of beginnings, it says here, and the Lord God made all kinds of trees. Now, this is symbolism. Grow out of the ground. The trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life. The tree of life was in the middle of the garden. The tree that gave life to them. And then it says this, and the tree knowledge. In other words, he's telling you how much knowledge or what kind of knowledge is in the world. And he only mentions two kinds of knowledge. And he says the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In other words, if you have any knowledge in this world, there are only two kinds that you can have. What are they? Number one, good. Who stands for good? God stands for good. And evil. Who stands for evil? God does not stand for evil. He created evil, but the devil stands for evil. Good, God stands for good. Evil, God does not stand for evil, but he created the devil, and the devil stands for evil. And why would God create an enemy, the devil, who has always been his enemy? He did it for his glory. Because he knew that if he creates things that were evil, the enemy would try to control them and use them. But God would use his, get his glory when he would bring you out and allow the enemy to be bound. Now, here the enemy uses things like cancer, uses things like high blood, low blood. He uses those things. God created those things. He created those things for his glory. How can you figure that, Dr. Johnson? Because if you can have it, God can heal it. He's the creator of it. He can heal it. And just like cancer has a boss, God is the boss of cancer. Just like you have a boss on your job. You think cancer doesn't have a boss? That it reigns without nobody controlling it? God can control the cancer. Speak to it and it has to leave. High blood, speak to it, it has to leave. Because God is in control. But he gets the glory when he allows Satan to afflict your body with cancer. And then all of a sudden he speaks and cancer has to obey and leave. When God says, get out, the Lord says, get out. It has to get out. And then you start raising your hands and saying, thank you, Jesus, for giving God glory. Please. See, some things are placed on this earth created by God. He created everything. He created everything. I wish I had time to get that for you in 1 John. Amen. Let me see if I got time. Yeah, he did create everything. Even, if, what does everything mean? Everything means everything. Yeah. And since God created everything, that means that he can control, amen, everything. In the beginning, this is John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, some of y'all say God created the world. He did, but he didn't do it by himself. He created it with the Word. And who is the Word? The Word is Jesus. Set the whole word out. It's about Jesus. The word is Jesus. Even the Old Testament is setting up the New Testament. In other words, the Old Testament is setting up everything for Jesus to come. Right? So the word is Jesus. So God created the heavens and the earth with the word. He was with God in the beginning, the word was. Through him all things were made. See, there it is right there. All things. What? How many things were made? All things. Mean the good things? Yes. Mean the bad things? Yes. All things were made. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. Nothing was made without him. He did it with the Word. And the Holy Ghost was there. God did it in the beginning. Now, I want you to see, as I go back to that scripture, Genesis 2:9. That we had through God the symbolism here that talks about the trees, amen, symbolizing the two entities that can affect your knowledge. In other words, what you know, you don't know anything unless it's controlled by good or evil, or affected, let me use that word, affected by good or evil. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees go out, and the tree of life, of course, and then the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And see, evil has been fighting against good ever since the creation. In the garden, the first thing Adam heard was the voice of God. Adam, Adam, where art thou? There was only one voice speaking to him at first. Amen. It was the voice of good. See, there are only two voices here. Good and evil. And good has a voice, and evil has a voice. When have you ever, when you get ready to do something or make a decision, when have you ever heard more than two voices, the voice of good on the voice of evil. Good tells you, go over there and pray for that lady. Evil say, oh, no, no, you don't know him. You don't know her. No, don't you do it. See, evil combats good. And when the evil speaks to you first sometimes, go over there and just stop that man. And the voice of God, no, 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 don't do that. Don't do that. You don't have to do that. Why would you do that? See, it's good or evil. Look in the Bible. Ever since the beginning of the world, when God created the heavens and the earth, and then created Adam and Eve, from the rib of Adam, they only dealt with one voice at first. And then the third chapter of Genesis, then a second voice came. And that was the voice of Satan and the serpent. Amen. Check the word out. No matter where you go in the world, you're not going to find the two voices speaking. Either God's going to be speaking, and he's being combated by the enemy. Or if the enemy is speaking, it's going to be combated by good. God's going to speak against it. And then most of the time, it's God, the good, speaking and telling what the evil is trying to do. Go to Revelation. There's no other persons mentioned in the fight except Satan trying to fight against God's will. And from Genesis to Revelation, it's just good and evil. That's all it is. And that means, I'm trying to tell you that there can only be two voices. Get that down. That's my first principle. Only two voices that can affect anybody. I don't care who you are. You say, well, I've been hearing four or five voices. Let me know. Call me this morning. Let me know who you are. I got to get you some help. Amen. Because there are only two voices that can really affect your life. That is good and evil. Then somebody takes me over there to the New Testament and said, that was a man named Legion. He had thousands of voices speaking to him. Maybe millions speaking to him. I don't know. My answer to you is they only represented one voice. One voice. Now, Satan can disguise himself in millions of voices as he did there, try to torment and run folk crazy. But there's only one voice that's doing that. That's the voice of evil. The voice of the devil. And then somebody said, well, now, what about my voice? You don't have a voice. There are only two superpowers, and you're not a superpower. You don't have a voice. You have a choice to make. Choose ye this day whom ye shall serve. Let me correct that. There's only one superpower, and that's God, and one trying to be a superpower. That's the enemy. You don't have a voice now. You make a choice. Choose you this day. And when you make that choice, it affects your life. All right. So get that. There are only two voices that can hear. Why would God want you to think that there are more than two voices that really can affect your life? God wouldn't want you to think that, because they're not the two voices. Why would the devil want you to think that there are more than two voices that can affect your life? Because he wants you to be confused. That's why. He doesn't want to be revealed like that to you. He doesn't want you to know that there are only two voices that can affect your life, because he wants the confusion. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, of love, of sound mind. In other words, God didn't put that force in your life. In other words, that was the enemy trying to, that's the voice of the enemy trying to confuse you. Now, once you establish there are only two voices that can speak to you, then the third thing, or the second principle is this, the 50-50 principle. I like that principle. The devil doesn't like it. He's angry about that principle. Why? Because it reveals him even more. You'll be able to see more. What is that 50-50 principle? It means that if it's not God speaking to you, it has to be the devil. They're not the two voices that really can affect your life like that. And that is good and evil. So if it's not the good, the voice of God speaking to you, it has to be the devil. Ain't nobody else but the devil. There are only two entities that really are in that category that can affect your life. The good, God, and the evil, Satan. So if it's not good, if it's not God, 50-50, it's the devil. That's an important principle. Now let me tell you something. That reveals Satan openly. That if it's not God speaking, then you know it's him. He doesn't like that at all. because he's trying to confuse people everywhere, not to know him. Amen. Because he knows that you love God, and if you really hear his voice, in all probability, 99% of the time, or let me just say 95% of the time, you obey him. Amen. The problem is that you're dealing with the flesh. Amen. And the flesh, many times, the enemy speaks to the flesh to try to confuse you and get you to go the other way. But it's 50-50. If it's not God, it's the devil. Now, the third thing, third principle is this. In recognizing God's voice, Samuel, the prophet, didn't recognize his voice. He didn't know it. So he had to spend time to know the Lord. And the way you spend time with the Lord is through the Word. That's one of the greatest ways, through the Word of God. And so the third thing is this. If it's not God speaking, it has to be the devil. How do you know that? Because he will never go against his word. That would make him a liar, and God is not a liar. God is not a liar, neither the Son of Man that he should do this. Had he not said it, will he not do it? Had he not spoken it, will he not bring it to pass? Numbers, the 23rd chapter of Numbers. So he's not going to lie. So you have to know the word. How you know the word? Study to show thyself approved unto God. A woman that needs not to be ashamed, right in the body of the word of truth. See, you study to show yourself approved. You study his word. That lets you know God even more. You learn his word. And he's not going to tell you things that are not in his word. Amen. My mother, Mother Ellie Johnson, just went on to heaven. She just expired a few weeks ago. And I've had some good days, and I've had some hills to climb. I've had some times when I've had to weep, amen. But I didn't weep all the time. And the devil couldn't tell me, oh, you just go, you got to weep every day. No. I knew if I heard a voice saying, you got to weep all the time, I would know that was the enemy. Because the enemy did try to tell me that. Because I know the word. The word says, weeping may endure for a night. Yeah. But joy cometh in the morning. And can't weep all the time because God's bringing joy to my heart. And people ask me now, how you feel? I feel better. Joy is coming. Amen. It's morning time. Amen. So you learn God and you learn the voice of God more so by knowing the word. He's not going to speak against the word. If I hear a voice saying, well, you're always going to be lonely now. You know, you got up every morning to go over there to beat your mom, and now you don't have to get up because she's gone to heaven. So you know you're lonely. Amen. Because your mom was your best friend. Amen. So you know you're lonely. But I know that's the devil speaking. How do I know that? I know that because the word says, I will never leave you, the Lord speaking, and I will never forsake you. Then he says, God says, and lo, I'm with you always, always, even to the end of the world. So when I hear a voice saying that, I know that's the devil trying to. See, why would he say that? He would say that because he's trying to get you depressed. And when he gets people depressed, he's trying to lead them down the road to being so depressed, that they'll take a gun and blow their brains out or end their life. Some way, because he doesn't want you here. You're doing damage to his kingdom, so he comes to try to get you out of here. I hope you understand what I'm saying here. So I'm going to open up the line here, where maybe, I don't know, maybe at work, you were at work, and that lady kept on, she was jealous of you, and she kept on just trying to, like a hangnail, pick on you about your clothes, pick on you about the decision you made, pick on this, and you know you were right all the time, but she just went a little too far, and then you heard a voice say, slap her, knock her back, and she falls back with her chair, knock her over. Well, now, whose voice was that that said that? Because who reached the repercussions? Who gets fired off the job? She just goes into a Hollywood act. Oh, gosh, you slapped her. Oh, she goes into a Hollywood act on you then because you You didn't obey the voice of God. You have obeyed the voice of Satan. That was not God's voice that told you to do that. The voice of God, and you know it by knowing the word. The voice of God says, love your enemies. Uh-huh. Pray for those who despitefully use you. See, when you know the word, you recognize the voice of the enemy. The third thing, God's word will never go against his voice. Number one, there are only two voices who can speak and affect your life, good and evil. Number two, it's the 50-50 principle. Yeah, the 50-50 principle. If it's not God speaking, it's the devil. And if it's not the devil speaking, it's God, 50-50. The third thing, God will never go against his word. The word and his voice will always be together, working together for the good. And the fourth thing is this, learn to ask questions. This is a good way right here. Just ask questions. I'm going to open up the floor. Is there anybody who's ever had a dilemma in your life when you had to try to figure out something and the enemy spoke to you and you recognized the enemy's voice and you knew the other had to be God speaking? Anybody? Give me an example. Is there anybody on the line who had the enemy try to come against you? In any example, and let's figure out which one was speaking. Anybody?
Yes. Good morning, Sheila Brown. Good morning. How are you all?
Good.
Calling from 913 area code.
Now, who is this?
God, who is this? My Lord, and Pastor Johnson and his entire family, to all the saints and friends that's on the phone. And Pastor,
don't worry about protocol.
Sir?
Don't worry about protocol. Go straight there and tell me your situation.
Thank you, Jesus. I was working at a Metropolitan Baptist Church. It was four.
Wait. Don't tell what city it's in. All right, let's just go straight to the problem. All right, go ahead.
I was there at work, and some people were working there, a lady and her husband. They were working there 7 or 8 years before me, and God allowed me to work there. My husband went to jail, and we had no source of income, and I went and asked the pastor if I could work, and he said yes, and I began to work there with the people, and I was the first one there in the morning at 6, and they were coming at 8, and I would open the door every morning and greet them, and they wouldn't speak. Her or her husband, they would not speak back to me, and I did it for years and years and years. I tried to be the best that God wanted me to be. Then one day, the pastor went to summer camp.
Hold on, let me stop you just for a moment. Now, you mean you were there at 6, and when they come in, they wouldn't speak to you?
No, sir. They wouldn't speak
right
to
me. Let's get that one right there. Whose voice told them? Somebody was speaking to their mind. Whose voice told them not to speak to this woman? Somebody answer me. There was a voice that told them not to speak. Who told them not to speak?
The devil.
It was the devil. How are you going to be a saint of God? And you, and I don't know if they speak in tongues there, but when people can speak in tongues and they can't speak to you in English, whose voice is that telling them not to speak to you in English?
Devil.
That's the devil. Why you know that? God would never tell anybody, don't you speak to that woman. I don't care what they did to you. Love your enemies. I couldn't get with this for a long time. My mother, Andy Johnson, told me this and showed it to me. Amen. I knew it was in the Bible anyway, but she showed it to me. She said, son, you got to love your enemies no matter what they do to you. You got to love those enemies. And you got to pray for those who despitefully use you. I said, Mama, I can pray for them, but wait a minute. Let me get them now. No, you can't get them. And then you got to love your enemies. So that was the devil telling them not to speak to you. Go ahead with your story.
Yes, sir. And as all that time went by, and the pastor ended up going out of town to camp, and one day in the church, all hell broke loose, and I decided to follow the devil's voice that morning. Yes, I was in the house of God, and I was vacuuming, cleaning the church out, and her husband, they come around the corner, and they were looking and pointing because they know the pastor was out of town, and they figured they would mess with me. So I turned around. I said, you all are up in God's house acting like a bunch of heathen. And I said, y'all are not godly people at all. And instead of holding my peace, that's what I said, and they went and called Pastor and told him that I was in the church acting a clown. He wanted to speak to me. He said, Sheila Brown. I said, yes, sir, Pastor. He said, leave the church, clock out right now, and you go home, and I'll see you back. You meet me here at 8 in the morning. I was crying because I thought I lost my job. Then I met him at 8 o'clock in the morning. He said, what's going on? I told him everything, and he knew the way they had been treating me, and he fired those people that have been there years before me. When I obeyed God's voice and calmed down and apologized and act the way a woman of God should act, God fought for me, and he fired those ungodly people.
Amen. All right, now, whose voice did he follow? Amen. When you told him the true story. But see, before you got there, the enemy set you up to lie on you. Amen. God brought you out all right. God brought you out. But the enemy wanted them to lie on you. A lot of times I just hold my peace and try to let the enemy be revealed unto the people. Amen. All right. There were only two voices speaking there. And the pastor, thank God you had a man of God who heard the voice of the Lord here when he heard the whole story. But he didn't react to what the enemy was trying to get them to do. So that's wonderful. Turn out in your favor. Amen.
Amen.
All right, anybody have anything to say about that real quick here? If you do, go ahead. All right. Let me have another example. Anybody experience something where the enemy was trying to say this to you and that to you, but you listened to the voice of God or you missed it? Sometimes we miss it. And now it's open to you.
Yes, this is Ambassador Hagan. I can recall on one occasion where the voice of the enemy was speaking and the voice of
God. Go ahead, start again.
I can recall on one occasion where the voice of God was speaking and the voice of the devil. I can recall I was on this job. I was working on my job. And glory be to God. Hallelujah. And my adversaries wanted me fired. But I was doing such an outstanding job, and the Lord had given me favor. And so one day they decided, yeah, we're going to get her fired. We're going to get her fired. So they
just before you go ahead, Ambassador, let me interject something. Now, you were just doing good, am I right?
Right.
I want to tell you all this, and I've been teaching this. You got to catch this, that a lot of times you wonder what you did to that person who won't speak to you, what you did to that person who, everything you do, they try to come against you. You've been wondering what you did to them. My answer to you is what I tell Amazing Grace. You didn't do nothing to them. You got to understand the devil doesn't like you simply because you're blessed like that. In other words, he doesn't like you because you're blessed. You haven't said nothing to them. You haven't insulted them. What did you do to them? Nothing. They just don't like you because you're blessed like that. Amen. That's the key right there. Go ahead, Ambassador Hagan.
Praise the Lord. Yes. And so they had concocted this scheme that this particular morning they were going to see me walk off the job. And so they came and said, well, what are you doing here? This morning I was in my office. What are you doing here? And I didn't say nothing because I recognized the devil was, you know, all in the face. I didn't say anything. So, well, what are you doing here? Don't you know you are fired and you have no business at the desk? And I just looked and smiled. And, oh, they were just coming in, and a team of them trying to get me to leave. And I was almost at the point of packing up everything and moving. But the fact is I had been praying to God and asking God to give me a better position on this job where I wouldn't have to do all these different shifts, a better position where I would have my weekends off, I could be at church on Sunday, and an increase in pay. And I'm telling you, this day, wow, I was almost at the point of walking. And right when I grabbed some of my belongings and was headed toward the little box to put in, I heard a voice say, who hired you? Did these people hire you? And I looked and I said, no. I said, well, why are you leaving? And I said, well, I know who hired me. The administrator did. And he said, wait a minute. They didn't hire you? Well, why are you about to leave? And I caught myself right in the nick of time, and I said, thank you, Lord, that's right. They didn't hire me?